Good evening. Thank you, Ed. And thank you to the Philadelphia Society, first for putting on this very deserving event for Ed Meese, and second for inviting me to be a participant. You've heard a number of sound bites this evening applauding the accomplishments of a truly great American. Those of us invited to stand up here to highlight some of the many contributions of Ed Meese are but a few of the legion of soldiers he recruited, trained, and developed into a force of principled conservatives who, because of Ed Meese's leadership from the front, not from behind, understand that the strength of this country lies not in the size of the federal government, but in the will of its people to pursue life, liberty, and happiness on their own terms in a free market environment. It has been over 30 years since I first met Ed. It was in the early days of President Reagan's first term. I had just been contacted by Attorney General William French Smith and his deputy, Ed Schmaltz, about the possibility of joining the Department of Justice as an assistant attorney general. White House introductions were in order, and Ed Meese was the man to see. He knew next to nothing about me, and I, quite candidly, knew only what the mainstream media had written of him, which was, by and large, predictably unflattering. In the ensuing years, we forged a lasting friendship. Ed has that effect on everyone who gets to know him. I have been with Ed in the worst of times and the best of times. He has endured heart-wrenching tragedies, suffered despicable and wholly unfounded verbal and printed abuse, the likes of which no man should be asked to endure, especially not this man. He has been called upon to perform under the most intense pressure imaginable and done so without hesitation and flawlessly, and has taken on the toughest challenges, invariably devising the precise strategy to confront each one, and then leading the charge with uncanny success. It was, as my dear friend Ken Cribb has alluded to, Ed Meese, who was the principal architect of the effort launched some 25 years ago to reawaken this nation to the Constitution's actual intended purposes and its true meaning. For too many years, self-proclaimed constitutional scholars have been teaching students and others how the Constitution should be understood in a society constantly manipulated by what we were told are evolving standards of decency. Need I add that these constitutional revisionists still roam the hallowed halls of academia today, sophomorically professing to one another, their students, and anyone else foolish enough to listen, that they alone possess the politically correct insight to divine what our founding fathers would have intended had they lived in present times. Of course, it dawns not at all on these scholars of constitutional wizardry that the founders responsible for the genius of our constitutional government never saw the inside of a faculty lounge, nor had the time or inclination to pay much attention to those who have experienced little else. Ed Meese took on those intent on bastardizing our Constitution. He didn't just tiptoe into the fray. We all know that's never been his style. He jumped in forcefully and unabashedly, literally changing the public discourse. some 25 years before the emergence of the Tea Party Patriots, Ed stood up for constitutional originalism. He reminded us that our founders fashioned a system of limited government, where the few national interests of the federal government, common defense, military strength, interstate commerce, were a supplement to, not a supplanting of, the powers otherwise reserved to the several states. Federalism, a concept neither acknowledged nor whispered in law school classrooms, let alone the editorial boards of the Harvard and most other law reviews. Federalism was reintroduced by Ed into the constitutional discussion as one of the essential pillars of our constitutional hierarchy. Equally commendable, since leaving government decades ago, Ed has continued to devote his talents and energies to advancing federalism wherever and whenever possible, leading, for example, the critically important initiative to decriminalize the federal code and restore to the states the police powers that are constitutionally theirs alone to administer and enforce. I could go on for hours, and I'm sure many in this room could do the same. Ed, I promised I wouldn't do that. I could go on for hours describing the central role Ed Meese played in rekindling an appreciation in this country for the extraordinary work of our founding fathers by insisting, when few others were bold enough to do so, that we heed the words and phrases that our founders chose to use, and embrace the lasting values fittingly inscribed in those cherished documents they so painstakingly crafted. We are all endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, not beholden to the government for rights it may choose to bestow on some and withhold from others. We are governed by the consent of the people, not by a bloated and out-of-touch bureaucracy inside the Washington Beltway. Those powers not specifically assigned to the federal government, which are damn few, are explicitly reserved by the 10th Amendment to the states. Individual liberty and freedom of speech and religion are core values that serve to define our democratic process, not regulated behaviors to be disciplined by shades of tolerance or intolerance for certain speech and or selected religions. It is striking to me that we are today at a decisive crossroad in that grand experiment in self-government that kindled the American Revolution, survived the Civil War, endured the Great Depression, and has resisted for more than 200 years the constant drumbeat of this country's progressive forces, insistent on asking only, what can this government, this country, this government do for me? Was it not their own beloved President John Fitzgerald Kennedy who more than 50 years ago memorably admonished all those progressives, indeed all Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? And was not that the essential focus of President Ronald Reagan's 8 years in the White House as he, with Ed Meese forever at his side, as he succeeded in turning around the dismal failures that came from a White House imploring the population to ask only what your country can do for you during the deplorable Carter years? Well, we've just weathered, barely, another 4 years of an administration intent on asking the wrong question. I would venture that all of us in this room recognize that we are facing a watershed election in November. The stark choice is between continued allegiance to the Declaration of Independence, on the one hand, and reorientation to a Declaration of Dependency, on the other. I personally attribute much of the credit to Ed Meese for the fact that the constitutional principles given to us by our founding fathers resonate so strongly among the electorate. He reminded us of our heritage when we most needed reminding, and restored our faith in the Constitution's original purposes when that faith was badly waning. If the forces of limited government and free enterprise triumph in November over the forces of undisciplined government and heavily regulated enterprise, as I am confident they will, not only will the people in this room owe Ed Meese a lasting debt of gratitude, but indeed so too will the entire nation. We thank you, Ed, for your wisdom, for your leadership, for your devotion to first principles, for who you are, and for all you have done and continue to do. Thank you.